Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome our guest. This morning, I'd like to talk about the sheep and the goats. Text is out of John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own this sheep, sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Father, I thank you for those who have come out this morning, and I pray a blessing on us as we read this text, as we study it. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Encourage us, warn us, do whatever's necessary, Lord. I pray that I will decrease, that you may increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus had just healed a man born blind at the temple, and the Pharisees cornered him. They didn't like it because he had healed on the Sabbath. And what we just read here, Jesus said to the Pharisees. And they were offended by it. I think they knew what Jesus was implying. What he said here is a fulfillment from Ezekiel chapter 34. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. Thus says the Lord God, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. God often referred to his people as sheep, and the elders and the kings as shepherds. The king was required to keep a copy of the law. The Lord told him that they needed a copy of the law. They need to read it. They needed to meditate on it so they would know how to lead. The elders were required to know the law, to be familiar with the law. And that's how they were to lead. In that passage in Ezekiel, God's rebuke was for the leaders of the nation. He said, "You're feeding yourselves, but you're not taking care of my people." In another place, he rebuked the priest. He said, "You're getting fat off the sacrifices of my people, but you're not warning them." The priests were allotted a part of every sacrifice for their food and for their family's food. And the Lord said, "You're getting fat from all the sacrifices, but you're not warning them. You're not teaching them that they are to follow the law, that they are to follow me and avoid sin." So God has a very strong rebuke for leaders that aren't doing what they're called to do, for elders, Sunday school teachers, pastors. And James says we will be judged with a harsher judgment, and I believe that. That's why I ran from the call to preach. For 15 years I told God, "I don't want it. I don't want that responsibility." Jesus, in this text, was talking to the religious leaders. As I said, he had healed a man on the Sabbath, and they didn't like that, and they confronted him about it. And the Lord told them, "I am the shepherd." And I don't think these men were stupid. I think they understood exactly what he was saying. God said, I'll raise up my shepherd, and there'll be one shepherd and one flock. God is a merciful God. He told all the way back to the prophet Ezekiel that there was coming a time when he would call people from all over, not just the people of Israel. There would be one flock, Jew and Gentile. And Jesus here told the leaders, in essence, "You're hired hands. You don't care for the sheep. You see a wolf coming, you'll run." He said, "I am the door. If anyone goes in and out through me, they'll be saved." He said in another place, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Now, at the end of this conversation, it said they picked up stones to stone him. The gospel of Jesus Christ still has that kind of reaction today. People either accept it or they reject it. Some reject it very hostily. Jesus told the Pharisees, I have sheep. They're my sheep. They will hear my voice. They won't listen to strangers. We've been studying the cults Wednesday night. We started a few weeks ago. Talked about Jehovah's Witness, and now we're talking about Mormonism. And I don't mean to sound harsh, but I've come to the conclusion personally, the people that follow these teachers are goats. And Jesus in Matthew 25 said the goats are going to be set on the left. And they're going to go to eternal destruction. It's sad. I'm not saying there's no hope for those people. But Jesus very plainly said, I am the way to be saved. The cults teach that it's good to believe in Jesus, but you got to do what we say in order to be saved. And Jesus said, my sheep won't listen to them. So when people get into this, one thing for me it shows, they're not his sheep. They have a form of religion. I think there's within each and every one of us a desire to worship. We're made in the image of God. And the theologian Karl Barth said that there's a hole inside of each one of us that only God can fill. And yet people will go out looking for different gods. Israel got in trouble when they redefined God and they started worshiping the Baal and the Asherah. They redefined God. They said, you know, we can go ahead and worship at the temple, but we can worship over here. And God will be okay with that. God rebuked him for that. He said, I don't share my glory with any other. And the God of the cults today is a different God than the God that Christians worship. Jehovah's Witness call us religionists. They also say that we're the church of Satan. The Mormons call us Gentiles, which imply that they believe they're one of the tribes of Israel, and therefore they're truly saved. But the Apostle Paul said it doesn't matter with God whether you're Jewish or Gentile, Scythian, barbarian, free or slave, you have to come to him through Jesus Christ. And the offer of salvation is open to all people. The goats deny salvation through Jesus Christ. They talk about salvation through works. I remember one time I was speaking with a Jehovah's Witness, and he was sharing his message, and I said, what do I need to do to be saved? He said, you have to be baptized into our organization. I said, what about Jesus? Well, Jesus died on the cross. But you got to be baptized into our organization in order to enter that paradise. And I looked at him and said, you're a liar and a false prophet. I don't need to listen to you. I had some Mormons come to my house one time and were talking to me. And I said, well, I attend the Christian church. I'm a Christian church minister. Well, praise God, we're brothers. I said, no, we're not. You worship the prince of the power of the air. I worship the one true God. There's only one God, isn't there? Yeah, there's only one God. And many people today want to redefine God. Well, my God is a loving God and he won't send anybody to hell. My God is a loving God and he understands if me and this woman are living together outside of marriage. One of the men I worked with on the ambulance was fond of fooling around married women. And one day her husband showed up. And I walked out. I told him, I said, I'll pick up what's left of you when he's gone. Well, the guy didn't hurt him, but he talked to him and he said, I'm glad if I'm going to lose her, I'm going to lose her to you. One day he came in with her and she looked kind of down and he said, Rick's a minister, talk to him. And I said, what's the matter? He said, oh, she feels guilty about what we're doing, but I told her God's a God of love, so he understands that we love one another. And you need to tell her that too. He was a professed Christian. I said, God is a God of love. But you two are in the sin of adultery, and you will be judged. I said, young lady, you have no right to be with this man. He is not your husband. And I said, you are right to feel bad, and you will be judged. I said, get away from this guy and go reconcile to your husband. He was mad. When she left, he said, that's not what I wanted you to do. I said, I spoke the truth. I said, you call yourself a Christian. I don't think you'd know God if he walked down the street in a red suit. Because you sure don't act like a Christian. I said, one of these days a jealous husband's going to show up here to shoot you. I'm going to walk out the back door when he comes in the front door. I'll try to patch you up when he leaves. People want to redefine God today. There's only one God. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God the Word who became a man and shed his blood on a cross and died for our sins. Don't let some jackleg preacher come and tell you there's any other way to be saved. Because there's not. You heard what our Lord said. I'm the door. You go in and out through me, you'll be saved. You can't be saved till you see your need for a Savior. You have to be broken. I've been a Christian 40 years, and I find that the Lord will break me down so he can build me up. It's when my pride gets in the way. My arrogance. And I think I've got this pretty well figured out. And God will say, no, you don't. You're not where I want you. You need to humble yourselves. There's a lot of voices in the world today, church. A lot of men in three-piece suits that speak very eloquently, but they're preaching a different gospel. There's only one gospel of Jesus Christ. One good news, he came to die for sinners. And until you know you're a sinner, until you call out to him as a sinner, you won't be saved. I had a lady tell me one time, I just woke up and realized I was a child of God. That scares me. I felt like telling her, you better go back to sleep. Think it over. Now, I'm not saying people have to have my testimony. I was a vile man. I was a twisted man before I came to Jesus Christ. But he's changed my life. That's why I get so passionate when we're studying the cults. That's why sometimes I can get so heated up. It irritates me that there's people that step up and say, I got this heavy revy from God, and I want to share it with you for $39.95. I have this way that you can get to God. I had a guy tell me one time, there's many ways to get to God. I said, there's only one. Jesus said he was the only way. Well, I know Jesus said that, but I believe there's many ways. I said, well, the fact that he said it demands a verdict on your part. Because the guy was either delusional or he was who he says he is. There's only two ways to look at that. It said many of the people believed Jesus. Others picked up stones to stone him. We try so hard in the church to get along with people, and we should. To get along in the world, and we should. But James said, if you're going to be a friend of the world, you're going to be God's enemy. Don't be afraid to speak the truth, Christian. There's no other way to get to God except through Jesus Christ. Not only is he the door, he said, I'm the shepherd. I read that passage from Ezekiel. God had said, I'm going to set my shepherd up. I myself am going to shepherd my people. In Islam, they believe their God asked them to kill. My God died for me. He's not asked me to kill anyone. He laid his life down for me, for a vile man like me. I think that's what got to me the night I finally came to Christ, when I realized that as vile as I was, he died for me. He died so I could be born again, so I could be changed. And after 40 years of being a Christian, it still amazes me that God could love somebody like that. You can't change the message, church. I see so many churches today doing seeker-friendly gospels. Don't want to offend people. Don't want to anger people. Don't want to get them upset. And I think in most cases, the bottom line is this right here. Well, they'll leave and take their pocketbooks with them. Our offerings will go down. I say what Peter said, let their monies perish with them. Speak the truth. Teach the truth. Jesus is the truth. All other things are lies and deceptions. This is another thing that Jesus said to me that demands a verdict on our part. He said, I'm the only way. I am the door. When I was in the Baptist church, the pastor had went to a seminar and come back and was talking to me, and he said, every year the Baptists are losing a lot of people to the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're the most predominant in this area. And he said, what's going on? And I said, well, number one, I don't think we're discipling people like we're supposed to. We're not teaching. But I said, number two, they're goats. Jesus said, they never were my sheep. What infuriated the leaders and they wanted to stone him, Jesus looked at them and said, you're not my sheep either. True. I told you last week, I've heard people say, Jesus was non-confrontational. You're reading a different book than I am. Jesus was very confrontational when he needed to be. The leaders come up and said, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? Tell us plainly if you're the Christ. Jesus said, I told you. And the works that I do bear witness who I am. He said, you're not my sheep. Somebody said that to me, I'd probably said, I'll tell you later. My gosh. Jesus did the works no one else ever did. He taught the truth. And they asked him for more signs. That's why I don't get too excited today when people talk about I believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But when they go to talking about signs and miracles, I don't get that worked up. Jesus said there'd be a lot of false signs and a lot of false miracles. There'd be a lot of wolves dressed in sheep clothing. They talk like sheep. They act like sheep. They look like sheep. But he said inwardly, it's all about them for what they can get out of it. Ask yourself this morning, am I a sheep or a goat? That's not a put down. Do I follow the voice of the Savior, or do I listen to strangers? If you're listening to strangers, it's not too late. Call out on the name of the Lord God. He said, whoever will call out to me will be saved. But you have to understand who he is and who you are in relationship to him. I'm glad Jesus is my shepherd, my protector, my healer. I was lost, but I'm found. I was blind, but I can see now. I wished I could go back and do my life all over again, knowing what I know now. And I imagine about everyone in here has felt that way. I am so ashamed of my past, of all those wasted years. But I'm not going to live in the past. I'm looking ahead. I've read to the end of this book. God wins. We will win. One day there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. There'll be no more sin, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more saying goodbye to the people we love. I'm looking forward to that. And it's all because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Would you stand with me this morning? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.